Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. Vance Rogers here with Chris Bruce. And for those of you who don't know Chris's story or his legacy or his heritage, I'm going to let him explain that. But the key is in the last name, Bruce. And it's not like I have a... You and I share one thing in common, and that is that we both have... first names or last names, first and last, in that they could go either or. I get called Roger on a regular basis by people, and I say, no, it's Vance. Oh, right, Roger. And they miss what I just said. So, anyways, Chris, why don't we talk about your Nikan story, and then if we can, if you'd like to share your heritage story, you know, your last name being a direct descendant of Robert the Bruce from, I'm doing my math correctly, that's like 600-700 years ago? Is that correct?
Coming up on 700 years. So.
Okay, in the country of Scotland. And if for those of you who are completely unfamiliar with who Robert the Bruce is, well, Chris is going to explain it. But first of all, tell us a little bit about your Nikan journey, because that as well has quite a heritage in... that you are related via marriage to one of the great icons in Nikan. So take it away, and I'll stop talking now.
Okay. All right. I did come to Nikan because of a product experience many years ago, coming up on 25 years ago. I was in California, and I was playing a game of flag football with a bunch of, late teens, early 20s, the right age group for people to make bad decisions and lose tempers and stuff. And some people on my team were talking trash and insulting the other team, and they got upset about it and decided to kill one of the guys on my team. And I was the scrawny kid with glasses and figured I'd be the peacemaker and no one was going to hit me. And so I got between them, and angry people went right through me to get to each other, and it kind of started a bigger brawl kind of thing, and I ended up on the bottom of a dog pile, folded over backwards. The back of my right shoulder was against the back of my left knee, and when everybody got off me, I had 3 fractures in my low back. My neck was dislocated. I had discs that were pushed out of place, and multiple muscle and ligament tears up the left side of my back from my hips and my shoulder blades, and went into shock. Was unconscious for about 18 hours. When I woke up, I was paralyzed from the waist down. Doctors, did all the doctory things, and they came to me with the "this is your life" moment, and said that I needed to have a full spinal reconstruction, and that my best case scenario would be that I'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, in pain for the rest of my life, on lots and lots of drugs. I'd never have kids, and if I lived through my 30s, I'd be lucky.
Okay, Chris, I just out of curiosity, this is not the typical type person that just, I had a back pain issue, or my elbow was hurting, or,
right.
I was dealing with headaches. This is kind of a over-the-top severe, and I want to preface this and throw it right out in the front. We're not making a medical claim. Chris is
right.
Not saying... For those of you who have never heard his story, we in no way, shape, or form say, and I want to downplay this, and there's a reason for it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just because Chris has had the experience he's about to share does not mean that we're going to go chase people in wheelchairs.
Right.
Okay, so continue.
Okay, so... I was very lucky. I was a very fit person. I was very athletic. I wrestled. I was an amateur kickboxer. So I was very, very flexible. So even though I had a lot of those injuries, I didn't have any, spinal lacerations. So, when people say broken back, they're thinking, spinal cord ripped out or something like that. But, I didn't have that. What I had was bone fractures and muscle and ligament tears. But the problem was, because of my neck injury, I was having heart and lung issues. A disc was pushed out of place, was pressing on a nerve, and it was just kind of shutting things down below it. And so they were afraid to do a surgery that big on me because they weren't able to keep my heart and lungs stable. So they wanted to wait 18 months with me wearing a body brace, and hopefully my neck would heal to the point where, you know, everything else was stable, and then they'd be able to do the spinal fusion, put the rods in, and then I'd be able to sit up nice and straight in the wheelchair and not suffocate, and that was kind of their goal. After over a year of everything they could do, lots of drugs, lots of physical therapy, you know, multiple specialists, I'd made no progress, and I can't remember the name of the condition, but it happens maybe 10% of the time when you have a fairly bad fracture. The bones don't immediately start growing and knitting back together, and that's why, you know, a kid will break their forearm or something like that, and they'll go in and they'll have to have a rod put in to keep the bone stable long term, and eventually it does start growing, but that's kind of the situation I was in. I had these open fractures in my back, and I wasn't growing any new bone. So the doctors felt that I wasn't a good surgical candidate and said that I should probably just learn to live with what was going on. I'd have to wear the body brace and just know that I would continue to deteriorate, and so they just gave kind of an open-ended prescription. You know, you could just take all these pain pills because you're going to hurt. And that's where I was left. In the meantime, my grandparents were introduced to me again, and Grandpa had a really bad knee injury when he was a kid, and he had multiple surgeries. But, you know, he ended up with a knee that, you know, was his bum knee. And Grandma had been a typist for 40-something years, and so her hands were just, and her knuckles were swollen, and all her fingers pointed in different directions. And they ended up winning a Magboy, as, you know, you put your business card in at the state fair, and they won one Magboy, and they used that product, and it helped both of them. So they got me introduced to a man named Dan Koontz, who's no longer in NECAN, but he'd had a great experience with his neck after a car wreck, and, you know, it just worked great for Grandma and Grandpa. And they invited me several times to come meet this excited magnet guy, but I you know, I was a sullen 22-year-old and, you know, taking lots and lots of pain pills, and so I just never showed up at Grandma's. But one time they invited me for dinner, and when I got there, there was no food. It was just a bunch of magnets on a table and this really excited magnet guy. And they showed me all the stuff. They put me on the floor. It took, you know, three of them to kind of lay me down carefully, and they gave me a rollout really carefully, and had Dennis Williams playing on the VCR doing, you know, the classic Dennis Williams wellness preview, and talking about this guy named Dave Johnson who'd made, you know, $17,000 in his 6 months in NECAN or something like that. By the time they were done with their rollout, I was able to lay flat on my back for the first time since I'd been tackled. And, you know, I wasn't immediately healed or anything, but it was the first time in, you know, 18 months plus that whole mess in my back kind of just relaxed, and I was able to flatten out and relax. And so I bought a Flex, which was the only thing I could scrape money together for. And I put that on my back, and I wore it night and day. And, you know, at first I was disappointed because, you know, I felt some relief with the rollout, but it wasn't anything that stuck or, you know, was immediately the same. So I was still taking lots of pain pills. I still hurt a lot. But on the 35th day after I got my Flex, I realized at lunch that I hadn't taken any pain pills. And so it was a really gradual thing for me. You know, tons of times I've seen people, you know, you put, you know, a power chip on them, and in 30 seconds, you're like, wow, is this supposed to work this fast? But, you know, I was one of those slow responders.
You know, Chris, the only thing that you shared that gave away the fact that this didn't happen last week was you mentioned three letters, and it was VCR.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I heard in that story that went, people could clue in really quick, went, oh, they didn't have Dennis Williams playing on YouTube in the background, but they had Dennis Williams playing on the VCR, which is VHS tapes. For those of you who are under the age of 30, it's much like an 8-track of the 70s.
Right.
Okay. But I'm curious, Chris. This was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so fast forward to today physically, that type of injury does have some long-term residual impact on the body, and I'm speaking from my own experience. Where are you at today, physically?
I'm really close to 100%. You know, it took a long time to really heal from that. You know, within 3 months, the doctors I was still going to that were monitoring my condition, I still had to have X-rays fairly frequently to you know, see if, you know, 'cause I did have one free-floating bone chest that they were worried about. You know, move the wrong way and it might, you know, actually cause spinal damage or, you know, something like that. But at 3 months, they were seeing new bone growth finally. And so that was almost 2 years after the initial injury when they saw the first signs that I was starting to grow new bone and have those fracture lines start to close up. At a year, I had 100%, you know, a full range of motion that, you know, I could bend down, tie my shoes, I could sit in a soft chair. I didn't have to sleep on the floor because, you know, I couldn't lay in a soft bed or anything. At 2 years, you know, they, you know, you have the disability check where they go through and they put you through all these physical tests and give you a rating, and then they said I was 100% recovered at 2 years of using the Flex 9-day and sleeping on the sleep system. And, you know, the water had just come out, I think. Or no, the water hadn't come out yet. But anyway, we had the, you know, a much smaller product line back then than we do now. But, you know, I still have my lasting injury is I have a piece of scar tissue that's right over my left hip, just to the left of my spine. And it's just kind of where some muscle is lumpy compared to what it was. And so I have a little bit of weather sense. So, you know, if there's a big weather change coming, I kind of feel it in there. And if I, you know, go shovel snow or want to skate down a driveway on some ice or something like that, that's where I'm going to feel it.
Okay, and of course, I think there's a little jab there. There might be, I don't know. Because I've done that skating down the driveway thing a few times when it's iced over. But I want to ask this question because I know there's a few people listening right now, or they're listening to the recording and they're going, what about this? What about that? When it comes to physical injuries, we have to allow the body to heal. And I hear that loud and clear coming through your story. It takes time. Some people do, as you said, alluded to, they'll put a power chip on it and they'll ask the question, is it supposed to work that fast? Or they'll put a Flex on it, or they'll stand on a pair of insoles, or they'll get introduced to a water product, you know, or a necklace. I mean, it could go a zillion different directions. The body will heal itself. Sometimes it's one thing, or sometimes it's the whole catalog. For you, Chris, it took time. And this was, again, I'm guessing 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, well, my initial injury was in 94, and so it was late 95 when I was introduced, and, you know, into 96 when I was really starting to get to where I could, you know, be a physical person again and, you know, do things like have a job, you know, drive a car.
Okay, so it was pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Okay, and I want to, again, I'm not trying to downplay the potential that Nikan products can provide for somebody, but I just want to be cautious here because sometimes we get so excited, and I've seen this with Nikanites or with I'm just laughing because I get introduced to different companies over sometimes it's more often than not, but other times, but focusing in on Nikan, we can think that, oh, this product can do this, and sometimes it can, but not everybody. From that perspective, let's talk about your Nikan heritage, and then also your last name, because I think that's what I'm not perplexed by. I think I find it interesting because not all of us are related to somebody. We're all related to somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. But not all of us are related to somebody like Robert the Bruce. So share a little bit about that. And then I want to come in a few minutes. I want to come full circle back to Nikan Talk about your heritage.
Okay. Well, Robert the Bruce was a duke, an earl in Scotland, and for a long time, you know, Scotland and England have had a rocky relationship, and most of it has been England coming in and taking over and doing bad things to the populace. And if anyone's seen Braveheart, William Wallace was a noble, just over the line from England into Scotland, and he started a big revolution. And Robert the Bruce, the one that's the famous one, his father was the sitting earl at the time, and he kind of vacillated and switched sides partway through the revolution. And his son Robert, he had several sons, but Robert was the oldest, really liked William Wallace and helped him out in several instances. But right at the end, the older Robert, forced him to stand down and not help William Wallace. William was captured and eventually killed. But when they killed William Wallace, it started the younger Robert. It broke his heart because they'd been friends, and he saw the retribution that England was heaping on Scotland, and so he broke the vow of fealty that the Bruce clan had made to England, and started another revolution just a couple years later, eventually led to Scotland becoming a free nation, and he was crowned King of Scotland. And there's been a few movies made. There's one called Outlaw King that's on Netflix that came out last year that hits a lot of the high points. But he's a hero of Scotland.
Yeah, and Chris, what I find really cool about that, and again, this is just fun history of somebody in the Nikin family, you, and your heritage. And where I think it's interesting that we can learn a little bit more about that is that Chris Pine plays your ancestor in this new movie. It's on Netflix if you have Netflix, and again, it's called Outlaw King. And what I liked about it is it shows the romantic side of him and that passion that he had and what his wife went through and in the family, how it was impacted. And there's always theatrical licensing taking place. You can't capture somebody's life story, in one movie. But, of course, I'm partial to Chris Pine because a few years ago, and you know where I'm going with this, he made fun of me on a screen on the Ellen DeGeneres show in my little driveway stunt. And if you're not familiar with this, just go on YouTube and type in Man Slides Down Driveway. But enough about fans. I want to focus more back on this heritage because it segues right into your Nikin heritage in that you are married to one of Dave and Valerie Johnson's daughter, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead.
No, your turn. This is about
okay.
you.
This okay. is not about well, I told you that I kind of had to be tricked into coming to see Nikin products. I had an uncle who signed up multiple times in the same company, and he lived kitty corner across the street from us because a new person would come to him and tell him it wasn't that company he'd already signed up in, and he'd get excited about it and come and tell us, we're all going to be rich and, we need your credit card and let's fill this out. And a month later he'd find out it really was that same old company and he'd get mad and
and unfortunately this is so apropos in network marketing, and it's sad.
Yeah.
It really is a sad state of affairs because the same tactics are still being used today. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and that was what I thought network marketing was, lie to your friends, get everybody to spend a bunch of money, and then everybody quits and gets mad and, no one can go to the barbecue anymore. And so I was not interested at all in network marketing. But Dan Kuntz kept trying to get me on the phone with Dave Johnson. And if anybody has ever tried to call Dave Johnson, especially in the middle late 90s, everybody was calling Dave Johnson. And you know, I was in his office when I was dating Melissa, and he had this time zone map. You know, it's probably 8 feet wide up on the wall of his office, and all these pins in it, and so he could look at it at 3 a.m. and try and figure out who might be awake somewhere in the world that he could call them and not make them mad. anyway, so I never talked to Dave because he was, you know, always, oh, I'll call you right back, and you know, be back on something else. But I did talk to Valerie 2 or 3 times, and one time we talked for almost an hour, and she liked me, and so she set me up on a blind date with her daughter. And all I had to do was come to a NECN meeting in Idaho Falls and pick her up and help her, you know, get moved into college. She was going to what's now BYU-Idaho. And I lived fairly close. And so, yeah, sure, I'll help her out. And she was really nice. And she talked me into trying out for a play. And, you know, a year later, we're married. And Dave's talking me into doing NECN. And I still didn't do anything. But I got a job selling pest control in California for like a summer job, and that's where I'd been injured. And I'd been in physical therapy a bunch in a lot of different offices, and in one of them I was in for a long time, there was a massage therapist who had been injured as an Olympic skater back in the 60s. And she would sit and do massages because she couldn't stand, but she had a pain pump in. And, you know, we'd sit and talk in the office waiting for our turn to go in and get tortured. But, you know, at this point, I was feeling great, walking around, you know, no problems. You know, I had to wear my Flex all the time to feel good. But, you know, I was great. And I ran into her, and she was still just as bad. And I realized that, you know, I'd known about NECN for about 2 years at this point, and I hadn't told anybody about it. I hadn't gone to all these people I knew hurt and said, hey, this amazing thing happened for me. And so I went and got my old NECN pad. It was the fuzzy gold one that came out that went on top of a mattress. And anyway, I took that and put that on her bed and let her sleep on it. And within 6 months, her pain pump was gone. She went back to school and finished her degree. And, you know, that was what first started me going, you know, I really need to share this and do something about it. And you know, I was just about to get married, and you know, it started me sharing it. And you know, my big goal in NECN wasn't to get super rich. You know, my dad was a doctor; he worked well over 100 hours a week. My mom was an entrepreneur; she owned a small business and still did other work to make ends meet. And we just never saw our parents. And you know, if I was going to be married and it, you know, be a dad, I wanted to be home and be able to, you know, make pancakes in the morning or you know, be there for dinner, or you know, go play soccer or watch their school plays and stuff like that without, you know, all of the stress and terrible angst of I should be at work right now. And so NECN was the opportunity to not only help everybody that I had seen that was hurt and was in the situation that I had been in, but it also had the opportunity for freedom, which was even bigger for me. And, you know, I'd always planned to be a doctor. I was going to follow in Dad's footsteps. But, you know, that 2 years where I was going from doctor to doctor to doctor and seeing how frustrated they were, because, doctors want to help people. You know, there's not some big cabal of doctors like, you know, how can we keep them on drugs forever? You know, most of these people are, you know, they have the, you know, the biggest hearts, and they want to save everybody. But, you know, they couldn't do anything, and they would tell me how, you know, locked in they were with insurance companies and hospital rules and you know, just a lot of times there's nothing you can do. And it kind of killed the dream of, you know, medical school and being a hero doctor like I'd looked up to my dad being. But, you know, with NECN, you know, I'm not out diagnosing and prescribing stuff, but, you know, in just a few minutes I can cut a piece of, you know, duct tape or share a power chip. And as often as not, just a few minutes, people do feel better. You know, it just really satisfies that need that I had to help people, and also to be able to, you know, be here home with my kids and you know, be the dad that I wanted my dad to be.
You know, and Chris, what's fascinating about that is I just before, and the reason why I was like kind of jumping on the call is I was looking at, you know, today's payday. For those of us who are in NECAN or getting a commission, it's the 15th of every month, as it's been since I joined back in 1992. That's payday. That's when the commission check comes through. And then as one of my dear friends and longtime business associates in NECAN says, yeah, but then we get these irritating little deposits every Friday.
And that's so irritating.
It's so irritating. Or as my dear friend Nancy Clyde says, you know, it's money in the bank every Friday because that's when the commission's from our customers. So we get both. And, you know, when a conventional job, you either get paid monthly or like my wife is a full-time teacher, and which was ironic, you know, calling her dad yesterday and wishing him Father's Day, and she had to explain to him. And I don't know what closet he's been living in or what cave, but she said, no, Dad, I just finished my middle school teaching, you know, my first year teaching middle school. This is a new position. And, yeah, I have about 100 students. And I'm looking at her rolling her eyes. It's like, how did the dad not know what his daughter has been doing? You know, she's 49 years old, and she's been teaching for an entire year, and I thought, that's how kind of out of touch she is, but it's okay. Enough about that. But, you know, what you've been able to create with your NECAN business is very interesting how you contrast and compare it to your dad being a doctor. We don't diagnose, and that's why I was so, you know, I guess, over the top about I want to downplay because I don't want people to think that we're all amateur doctors running around out there saying, oh, just stick a nickin on it, you know, as we used to say years ago. We don't do that. But we can, you know, when we, just like, you know, part of my tardiness getting on the call this morning, again, was I'm staying at a beach house and we invited a single mom to join us. And she's a customer, long time friend, but she's totally unfamiliar with NECAN's new grounding pad. And I said, you know, in a few minutes, I said, while I'm on my call, you could use it if you'd like, because she knows nothing about it. And I said, and you'll have to let Addie, our 9-year-old, explain the documentary. And she said, oh, yeah, let's talk about that. So it was really kind of a fun little dialogue. And I'm guessing that you probably have that kind of dialogue with people, as you said, you know, put a piece of duct tape on it, and we're not talking about duct as in vent ducts, okay,
right.
For those of you, because I'm thinking in my head as you're saying that, going, oh, we're going to run around, you know, duct tape on people's bodies, and, you know, the gray stuff. We're talking about the NECAN stuff.
Yeah.
Let's finish our conversation for the sake of time. What encouragement would you give to people who are hearing your story for the first time of, you know, how to do NECAN as a business? Because there's two types of people that are in NECAN as a business, some that are kind of doing it part-time and just casually sharing it. And then there's the others, like you and I, we're building this as a full-time venture to be our main source of income. What encouragement would you give to people in both those categories in sharing NECAN?
Well, just understand that this is kind of a small and simple things leading to big things kind of business. So whether you are doing the, you know, the part-time, you know, I make a call on my lunch break and maybe go you know, listen to a couple things on Saturday and, you know, every week or month or something, I show somebody the MagStep test. Or if you are doing the, you know, I've got a strategic list of calls to make today and, you know, 30 leaders in my business that I've got to talk to and strategize about getting them to the September event or, you know, something like that. It is the daily little tiny things that do add up to it. You know, I tell a story that, you know, when I was desperately trying to make enough money early on to buy a plane ticket so that I could get to my wedding. I was out there trying to sell MagSteps and flexes and stuff like that. And I did
okay,
have one.
The irony of that, I'm sorry, I'm cracking up laughing, to get to your wedding, buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, well, I told you about the pest control job.
Yes.
It turned out the company I was working for was corrupt, and I caught some bad things happening. And so I went to the boss, thinking that, you know, we had a small problem in the company. And when I explained to him what I found out, he fired me because it was company policy to be committing fraud against our customers. And
so you were fired for insubordination.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they were making a lot of money doing this bad thing they were doing. And less than a year later, they were actually, like, people were arrested and went to prison kind of level stuff. But for me, you know, I was living in an apartment that the company paid for, and I was driving a car that the company paid for, and going around and doing, you know, industrial and residential pest control inspections and setting people up with these big contracts. And so I was banking commissions. Because they came to my college and, you know, you can make $50,000 in 3 months. You know, all this stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
there...
Oh, you know, I'd be a down payment on my house.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was a network marketing company that was shut down a few years ago, and it started with the letter V, as in, like, Victor or Vance, and it was some type of drink, and same scenario, and it destroyed lots and lots of people's lives. That's not Nikan, obviously.
Yeah.
Again, for the sake of time, Chris, because you and I could just, I would be laughing in stitches at some of these ironic experiences you've had. You just mentioned an event in September. Talk about that for people who are not familiar with it, because this is going to be a fun one, and I don't want to get sidetracked into the fact that, oh, you've got to go from event to event, and it's about the big, that is true. Big decisions are made at big events, and I'm quoting your father-in-law. And it is true. I try to take in one or two of these a year. I can't make all of them because of our family schedule and all the dynamics we have going on. However, there's one coming up in September that people need to know about. So talk about that.
Okay, so this is going to be in the Bay Area, and it's the second time we're doing this. We did it last year. And it was just a bunch of different Crossline people, but it was mainly started by Dr. Mijin Chong, who wanted to have something in the Bay Area close to her and, you know, ignite her business. And we spent from, I think, March to September promoting it last year, had a little over 100 people in the room. More than half of them were guests. And from that event, just in Mijin's group, because she's in my downline and I was working with her, she broke 4 silvers from that meeting, and went platinum, and won the trip to Italy, and then we had one of the fine people went diamond. Several people, sold a lot of product, but a lot of movement came from this, and so we're capitalizing on that same momentum. But in September, it's going to be on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. There's going to be 3 events. The main one is the big event like we had last time. That's on the 7th, and it goes from 9 to 4:30. Then it's at the Crown Plaza in Concord, California. And you can get information from that. It should be going on the Nikan site in the banner here fairly soon. But the day before, we're going to have a all-day training with Luis Kasuka on the 6th. That's going to be in a Japanese restaurant, and you'll go in and you just buy your lunch and your dinner and get to go through this training with Luis Kasuga. And that's the training that he developed in Latin America that turned them around and had that explosive growth that they've enjoyed over the last few years that he's trying to introduce here to help us all build these big dynamic businesses and see, you know, people coming in, checks going up, all the exciting stuff that we want to see. And then the day after, on the 8th, it's going to be a Humans Being More training, the new Humans Being More, with Jeff Isom. And it's a great event. We had a lot of great speakers, and this year is going to be big again. So if you have people in the Bay Area, or if you can get to the Bay Area, sending a few people to this really could be a spark that ignites and pushes the whole next year. And, I think we're going to have a bunch of new Kaizen and Tai Chi winners and new pin ranks and a lot of people, that experience Niken for the first time in a big event where it's exciting. One-on-ones in the coffee shop, you can get a lot done. But if you have, 30 people stand up and say, this amazing thing happened for me in Niken, the people who are seeing it for the first time kind of go, there might be something to this. It's not just my crazy neighbor, It's not my brother-in-law.
Yeah, this
is real.
Yeah, or Doug Coons, I believe, the crazy magnet guy. Or someone like Dennis Williams, who sat in my parents' living room, 20-plus years ago. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that September, this is the beginning of September, so it's still quite a ways away, but think about it. Look at go on the Niken website, look on the calendar, it's in the information center, it should be posted there, and like you said, Chris, it's going to be on the banner that comes across the main, so you can see it. But you also dropped a little caveat there that those of us who were in Layton, Utah this last year or a few months ago, you got to hear Luis. And there's so much that has taken place in the Spanish-speaking countries that Luis has developed. And long heritage, Niken chose to put him, as a company, chose to put him in the position as the global president. And there are some really exciting things that are bringing birth to not put Niken back on the map, but allow us to see what Niken's heritage. And I think it's so apropos and fitting because you've got the Niken heritage, Chris, with your in-laws, Dave and Valerie, and then your family heritage going several hundred years back, and the heritage of Niken going back to 1975, Luis is the epitome of that. And so I want to put in my plug here. If you've not had the chance to hear him or to spend time with him, it's not that he's a demigod or he's, this walking prophet. That's not who Luis is. He just oozes what the Five Pillars of Health is all about. And if you need that shot in the arm or if you've never experienced, I cannot recommend an event more highly than this one. And I am trying my darndest with school starting, with it is really, really challenging more often than not. But when we make a priority, it's like God opens up and things move and allow us to do that. So, anyways, I again, check the website. The banner will be up soon. Final thoughts, Chris, from you on anything and everything.
All right. Well, I've been in Niken a long time, and I've seen, the ups and downs, but just, in the last few months, I'm seeing a lot of turn where people who've been in for a while and who've been sitting and waiting to see what's going to happen are starting to move. I mean, I was doing texts with people on the East Coast, so for them, it was like 10 or 11 o'clock at night for me, so it had to be, 1 in the morning for them. But, one of them was talking about having giggle fits because they were sitting with this naturopath who had a problem. They put a power chip on it, and I said, it's supposed to work this fast, because just within a few minutes it was gone, and they were so happy they were giggling. And so, we're talking about giggle fits of the best, and people who've been around for a long time are suddenly getting out and moving, and new people are getting in. We just had a meeting Thursday night and had, 4 or 5 brand new people, and they're asking, well, how can I make money with this, and compensation plan questions, instead of having to bring out the PowerPoint and show them. They're asking for the information, and I'm just seeing more new people come, and this really is the time to kind of like step in and put your shoulder to the wheel, kind of thing, because the momentum is starting, and if you help create the momentum now, then you're going to benefit from it when that wheel comes around and suddenly it just runs away and there's no longer pushing. You're just trying to, you know, stay out of the way.
Yeah, and that's the fun part about it. So, Chris, thank you so very much. I have learned a ton, and I'm sitting here, and again, I'm taking it all in, and I'm watching the tide roll in. It's not often that I get to be on the Oregon coast, and I'm really eager to do what I call pull the Ruth low and run down on the beach barefoot, and it's going to be cold. I was freezing sitting in the hot tub last night, as I think it might have been maybe 59 degrees, and the wind is blowing about 40 miles an hour.
Oh.
Our daughter said, it feels like Sweden. I think it's colder in Sweden, but it's a good analogy. But thank you so much. And one last note on the September thing. I can't urge folks stronger. And maybe it's not San Francisco or the Bay Area in September. Maybe it's San Antonio, which I think is just a few weeks later. Or maybe, you know, there's all kinds of things. But make a decision. And because you never know. You never know. Maybe, because I've had people go literally show up by themselves. There's lots of Nikanites that are looking for roommates too. And that's what really makes it fun. And you start to network. Call me, text me, that kind of thing, and I'll do my darndest to connect you with somebody, but I'll bet. Or there's somebody in your neighborhood, one of your customers or maybe a consultant or somebody that would want to go with you just on a, because they've never been to San Francisco. It is in the summertime, especially September, it is, oh my goodness gracious, I cannot tell you how much fun it is. And I'm very partial to it. I'm very partial to Chinatown, the Golden Gate Bridge, if you've never seen it. It'd be worth the trip. So, anyhow, thank you again, Chris. This has been fun. And Chris Bruce, by the way, if you've jumped on late, has been our guest this morning. And this conversation, as I like to call them, and many, many more can be found at SaturdayAMLive.com. That's the website. And if you don't see the picture of Chris and a little quick link, right away, check the 2019 recording, and you'll find it there. And I would encourage you, if those of you who've never heard Chris's story, and you know somebody who's got a major life-altering injury or back issue or fill in the blank, all you got to do is copy and paste that link and say, hey, you don't have to listen to the whole story because this guy Vance keeps interrupting him and it gets, you know, rather long. But listen to the first little bit, because this may be, and it may be enough information for them to open up their mind to check out NECAN. So, anyhow, again, thank you, Chris. I'm going to do this right quick.